Yeah, the hell I. This week's episode is with Sean McNulty. It's great to have Sean on to talk about rugby and how his rugby career has, you know, changed in the last, you know, wasn't going the way he wanted it. So now he's going to America, and you know, massive, you know, kudos to him for, you know, for getting up and making it happen. He's gone off to play with he's with the Free Jacks already. You know, last season he ended up on a loan deal for a small period as well with Rugby United in New York. So really exciting time for him to be over there playing in this up and coming league. We chat about how the league works, the training, the matches. We also chat about his time at the Leinster Academy, his time playing for Munster underage, and you know, making that jump from Munster to Leinster, and chat about college, all that kind of stuff. So you know, it was a great chat for me today, and it's good to be back in behind the mic. With exams over now, it's great to be back just spewing. So enjoy the episode. Chat soon. Ba-da-ba-ba.
Is the Inside Trail.
Oh, awesome. Crack.
And cheers.
Cheers.
Nice.
Thanks for having
Sean,
me.
Sean, it's great to have you. Okay, so the first thing that I suppose we started off with, well, to introduce you, I suppose, is that you're a rugby player. You've played, you know, various different places. You played in, you know, two of the best teams in Ireland, in the Munster and the Leinster systems growing up. But now you're heading abroad.
So I moved over to Boston last February. New England Free Jacks named the team, based in Boston there. So we played Major League Rugby. It's the new kind of new form professional league in America. It's coming into our third season at the moment. Then we're an expansion team for this year, so it's actually our first year. But really excited, looking forward to getting back into it. So I'm heading back next in 2 weeks' time. So
And we were talking before that you're heading straight into pre-season. That's
heading
always an exciting
into,
time.
Yeah, exactly. I think I land on the Friday night and start on Sunday, I think. So
awesome.
No kind of time to mess around. Yeah,
yeah,
getting stuck into it.
That's the one thing that I think pre-season is just that one thing that you just need to go, right, let's just block it out, done, and then we're in.
Yeah, you kind of need to just tick off the calendar week by week and just kind of set some little mini markers and get through it.
Yeah, fair. What's your least favourite part of pre-season?
Oh, the running without the ball.
The running without the ball.
Yeah, the rugby fitness is fine, kind of fitness games or touch games, but when you're doing shuttles or just
tedious,
like, that just gets me.
So you said there about that the Free Jacks are an expansion team. So what does that mean for people who don't understand?
So basically, Major League Rugby started up 3 years ago with six teams, I believe. And then last year it got up to 9 teams, and then this year we're at 12 teams. So expansion team basically is the new team that joins every year. I think of the three this year, it's ourselves, Washington DC and Atlanta, and then that obviously changes the format around with the 12 teams. It's now two conferences, obviously of six, East and West. You play everyone in your conference home and away, and then you play everyone on the other side either home or away once. So that kind of takes the whole season. I think it's 16 games, I think. So nice little season there. So we're one of the three expansion teams, and looking forward to it.
Cool. So last year, was it last year or the year before where you went on loan to New York?
It was last year. So when I went to the Free Jacks in February, it was very much a kind of development year, putting a team together, trying to build a fan base, all that kind of stuff. Trained more or less full time from February to June, with a maybe a month or two off in there, and then we actually played a couple of games against the provincial teams from here. They sent over their A team, so we played against Ulster, Connacht, Munster, and Leinster A teams. That finished around April, and then I was coming off an injury. I tore my hamstring in February, so I actually didn't play those games.
That's
just a battle. It sucked, to be honest. But then there was kind of 2 months in Boston where there was no games, that they were just training. So just to get some kind of match fitness, we kind of worked out a loan deal with New York, who were in the league at the time.
Yeah.
So went down there, played, I think, 5 games.
Cool.
Okay, I got 5 games under the belt to finish out the season. And yeah, it's great. Unbelievable experience to actually
get a feel for the
Yeah, get a feel for the league. Yeah. Exactly. So playing against all the top teams. I think my first game I played for New York, I came off the bench at 6. I'm usually a hooker.
Yeah.
Came on at 6, and I don't know if you know Manu Samoa.
Yeah.
Samu Manoa, even. Sorry. The 6 for Northampton. He used to be Northampton. Just like the biggest man. He's American born, but he played for America, but he played for like Toulon,
yeah.
Northampton, like.
Big boy.
The biggest man I've ever seen. So I'm scrumming down against him, and I'm like, shit, this is real now. So it was great though. Yeah. It was a class experience.
It seemed that there's a lot of players, like, it's not, I remember probably like 2 or 3 years ago, it was kind of like there was very few elite players playing in the league. Whereas, if Bastro plays in that league.
Yeah, yeah. So I would play, Ben Foden was with us last year in New York. Who else coming in? We got Manonu coming to San Diego, Rene Ranger and Dick Biwani going out to Colorado. Bastro in New York. We've got a handful of internationals coming to us from a couple of Samoans, Tongans, Japanese.
The Japanese most capped prop. Yeah, I saw that.
Kensuke. Awesome. So he started in that famous win over South Africa in the 2015 World Cup. Tight head there. Yeah, 80-something caps. So as a hooker, that's pretty cool for me to be able to get scrummaging with him. Japan had one of the best scrums in the world when he was there, so that'd be pretty cool. Pick his brain a little bit.
Absolutely.
And, it'd be a cool experience.
So from the games that you played last year, like what's the standard like in comparison to, playing, AIL, WCD?
It's like the most common question I get asked. Yeah. Like, what's the standard like? It's surprisingly really good.
Yeah.
You kind of go over America, you don't really know what to expect, but there's a lot of really, really good athletes there. A lot of good players who definitely could play and get abroad. They probably never got the exposure, which they probably will get now in the MLR. A few small things maybe basic skill set or like rugby IQ wouldn't be as high as here. Just again, because it's just such a new game there.
It's exposure.
But in terms of like the willingness to like actually play good rugby and like the physicality, the speed of the game, it's like right up there.
Yeah.
It's like AIL English Championship, I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
And of course, getting all these international players in to help, like, it's only going to get bigger.
Increasing the standard, 100%. So, before you decided to pack up shop, how did the move come about? Like, how did this come to, mind?
So, basically, I was in Leinster Academy for 3 years, and then, obviously, in third year, you find out whether you get a contract there or not. I wasn't getting a contract, and then it's kind of a period of so I was looking at 100 different options, and I qualified to play for America because I grew up in New York, so I have 10-year residency, which qualifies you to play for the national team. So in my head, okay, maybe it's an option there. The MLR was new, I think that year it was only the 6 teams, so nobody knew what it was going to be like. Then as I was getting released from Leinster, New York were announced as an expansion team for last year. Obviously growing up in New York, I was like, shit, that could be me. That would be a dream. Eddie O'Sullivan, who I would have known a little bit, he at the time was named as an advisory role for them.
Yeah.
Shot him a text, got a phone call with him. He put me in touch with the owner, had a phone call, going back and forth, really long process. Then for a while, it felt like it wasn't going anywhere, so I was looking at other options. I got a scholarship offer to go to Life University in Atlanta. It's like the top rugby school there, so looking maybe go back and do a bit more study.
Mm.
And then New York came back into the picture. So it was actually a really long story. Yeah. And then again, New York, it was kind of slow talking, and then that's when the Free Jacks got onto me. Shot me an email, and within a couple of weeks I was signed up. They just seemed really dead keen to get me involved, and so was I. And my parents live in Boston as well, so it's obviously nice to have them close there. So
Definitely.
So within a couple of weeks of talking to Boston, I was signed up and ready to go. Yeah,
I'll come full circle.
Yeah.
Okay. So then, sorry, there was just something I wanted before we move off that. Mm-hmm. Sorry. So your residency then, so you can qualify to play for the Eagles.
Yeah. Basically,
that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it was kind of a hidden rule that nobody really knew of. Everyone talks about. Remember, it used to be the 3-year residency right before you play, and then the up to 5-year.
I think it's 7 in some countries.
I'm not sure. It's a world rugby rule. I think it's 5 years. So that was another thought. I was like, I grew up in America. That could be an opportunity. So then I was thinking, it was the year before this World Cup, so if I go this year, I'll have 5 years done for the next World Cup.
Yeah.
So I was looking at that, I was like, okay, in 5 years' time, I could be qualified. And then my mum, being the great woman that she is, she was searching around.
Tip tapping.
Yeah,
away.
Just like looking, looking for anything possible for me, like a cool opportunity. And she found this room on World Rugby. Like, nobody knows about it. It's if you have 10 years accumulated, or 10 accumulated years of, at any time, you qualify. So I think I grew up in New York for 9 years and 8 months. So obviously I was a few short, so whatever, I signed for the Free Jacks.
Bang out 2 months.
Done my few months, and I'm qualified now.
Yeah,
so
that's cool.
Yeah, no, it's great. So, it's something to kind of target and give myself to go after, yeah.
I suppose then the next World Cup, that'd be the goal, I suppose.
100%, yeah, 100%. I'll be 28 by then, so I don't know, they say front rowers going to come into their peak in the 20s. Yeah, definitely something to target. We've got a really good squad. First and foremost, I want to do it with the Free Jacks.
Yeah.
As cliche as that sounds, I actually really, really do. We've put a really good squad together. I'm going to go hit the ground running there, do what I can there, and hopefully my performances look after themselves, and that gets me into the shop window, hopefully. So
yeah, dead right.
Four-year plan's nice. Like
it gives
you
something to work at.
Absolutely, yeah.
Especially as you said, you know, when you finished your last year in the academy and you're like, what the fuck do I do now?
There's a serious period there where you're kind of just staring at the ceiling and being like, what the fuck comes next? But 4 years, it's pretty short. It gives me a goal, and I'm a realist at the end of the day as well. Yeah. If it's not going the way I want to in 2 or 3 years, then we kind of reassess our options. But for now, all eyes on 2023.
Dead right. So what is, in comparison to, you know, being in Leinster and, you know, the training that you do you know, in UCD and all that kind of stuff, like, what's the, like, training like in comparison? Is it, like, would you say it's nearly the same, or is the rugby ethos different?
Yeah, so this year coming with the Free Jacks is going to be completely different to last year. I'll give you kind of a quick rundown of how it went last year. Because we were the expansion team, we were, like, no one was full-time. We only played a few games against the Irish provinces, so they couldn't really afford to have lads quit their jobs for that. So we trained at 5 a.m. last year, on the pitch, 5 a.m., finished their...
The 5 a.m.?
5 a.m., yeah. So that was tough. It was because all the lads were obviously working full-time jobs, so we couldn't afford to obviously get people to do that. So that was tough.
Yeah.
That was tough. Get on the pitch, and then it's a long day kind of doing nothing while everyone's at work. But this year, you know, another plan. It's a similar enough day to Leinster, so you kind of meet at 9, you get your strapping done, a couple of meetings on the pitch for 10, maybe 10 to half 11, you get lunch there. Maybe 1 o'clock, meet back up, gym session and meetings in the afternoon, video analysis, all that. So it'll be a full day, which is, more or less the exact same when I was in Leinster. So you're in kind of 9 to 2, 9 to 3 all day, a few breaks, get lunch sorted, day off in between on a Wednesday. And you kind of, I imagine every day is going to be different. So like Monday could be set piece, Tuesday attack, Thursday defensive captain's run. So I think it's going to be... You know, pretty professional.
It sounds like
great. Which is great, which is kind of what I'm used to.
Yeah.
I missed that for the last year. Yeah. So, I'm absolutely itching to get back. Yeah.
That's good. Yeah. So, the last thing on the Free Jacks, what are the facilities like? Where do you train? Where do they play games?
Yeah, so we're based in Newton. It's a town 15, 20 minutes west of the city, downtown Boston. Pretty cool. One of our players from last year, Jared, who's also our S&C coach, he owns a gym, like a performance-based gym, like really a kind of functional and stuff. So we're obviously training out of there. He's going to be S&C coach this year full-time. And then the Free Jacks bought the office space next to them, kind of converted. It's like a little mini AstroTurf room that you can do skills in there, video analysis room, physio room. So it's all in the one building, which is great.
That's ideal. It's not moving around.
Yeah, it's perfect. Yeah. So like compared to when I was in New York last year, I was living up in Harlem.
Yeah.
We were training over here in Randall's Island. We played down here in Brooklyn. Our office was down here in Manhattan. And you're getting the subway everywhere just because it's not enough real estate. Obviously, you have everything there. So all of our gym meetings, day-to-day stuff is all together, and then our training pitch and match pitch are about 20 minutes from there. Not the worst.
No.
But we're obviously with the Boston winters, it gets pretty cold, so we have the sort of like a bubble dome, so it's an indoor AstroTurf pretty much, full size pitch to train there in the winter.
That's
cool. Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's class.
So to move away from that, but to actually go a little bit earlier.
Yeah.
So you played your underage rugby with Munster, right?
Yeah.
Yet you went to the Leinster Academy. How did?
Yeah.
Is that not a weird transition? I know a lot of Munster lads, like, they'd be very
taboo, yeah.
Very hesitant to take them up and play in blue, like.
Yeah, definitely. I wouldn't say it's. Not that I didn't have loyalties, but I didn't grow up in Ireland. I didn't grow up obsessing over Munster, Leinster. Yeah. I grew up in New York. I moved to Bahrain for a little bit.
Yeah.
Picked up my first rugby ball in Bahrain Rugby Club. Played there for a year. Then I came boarding school in Rockwell. And then, you know, by default, I started sporting Munster. Obviously, yeah. Rockwell's in Tipperary. And then I wasn't even that good at rugby until, like, I didn't start that team until fourth year.
But you were a 3-year starter then after that, right?
No, I actually only started for 1 year. I saw an article about me. They told me I was a 3-year starter.
That's what I read.
Yeah, really. I wasn't going to complain with it. But yeah, no, I
actually
blended that one out. First, second, third year, I was like on the C's and D's. And then in Munster schools, if you're in fourth year, you're allowed to play junior cup for underage.
Mm.
So that's what I did. And that's when I first started starting. Fifth year, subbed on the seniors. And sixth year, started on the seniors, made Irish schoolboys. So that's when it kind of all kind of started, for maybe fifth year.
Yeah.
Obviously by default, played for Munster underage, 18s, 19s, 20s. But when I was leaving school, that's the only age you kind of offers, sub-academy, academy, whatnot. My first choice was like UCD, just wanted to go to Dublin. And I kind of only would have considered Munster if it was a full academy contract. Yeah. I wasn't going to kind of chance it with a sub-academy contract. I only got offered sub-academy, so I said, look, I'm going to go to UCD for the year. Or for college anyway.
Yeah.
So I went to UCD, just lived like the normal student life, was great, really, really enjoyed it. Played like Irish 19s that year. And it was funny then, I was actually on the piss, like in around Six Nations time, and I woke up the next morning with like 3 missed calls, and it was from like the Irish 20s manager. One of the hookers got injured, and I got called into camp then that day. So I played Irish 20s that year as well.
Oh, class.
And then after the first year of college, there was still another year of Munster 20s.
Yeah.
And I still knew I didn't want to go down to Limerick or UC Transfer College. So through the connections I made, just being in UCD and up there, got my foot in the door with Leinster a little bit. And then Leinster and Munster talked it out. And it was kind of agreed that it was cool for me to go to Leinster sub-academy.
Yeah.
On the condition that I played Munster 20s first.
Okay.
So it was weird. So everyone on my team in Munster knew I was going into Leinster sub-academy. So I got a bit of stick.
Yeah.
But it's all fine. Like it was never a question of like my commitment.
No.
I was fully...
Just the way
fully into Munster for that summer, and literally the last match would have been on the Saturday. I started Leinster on the Monday, so it was good.
It was
quick turnarounds. Did the year sub academy there, and then 3 years in the academy. Yeah.
Fair. And what did you study in UCD?
I messed around for a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
I went into arts the first year.
As a lot of people do.
Yeah, as a lot of people do. And then,
I'd be the same.
Yeah, and then if I could tell my younger self to just stick at college,
yeah.
Now looking back, I would have. But I got a little cocky, rugby, not going to go to college. I dropped out of that. And then I started a diploma, business and sports management, the following year. Got that done. And then, so I got the diploma there. And then I knew I was going into my final year in the academy. And when you're going in, you kind of have an idea of whether you're getting kept on or not. Had in my head that maybe wasn't going to go the way I wanted it. So I assumed I'd be moving on the following year.
Yeah.
So I found a online course from the University of Hertfordshire. 100% online. Again, business sports management.
Yeah.
So I'm finishing in that at the moment.
Nice.
Yeah, so my final year now. So tipping away. Yeah. I'll get it done at the end of the day.
That's dead right.
All I need to do.
And then you were saying that you were kind of considering doing the University of Life over. Is that now that the free dash here?
That was again because I still had this 1 year, 2 years at the time left. And I knew Life University, a lot of Irish people have gone there. AJ McGinty, who plays for USA now, Dylan Fawcett went there, Marcus Walsh, a lot of Irish guys, Sean Cochran, my friend, is there now. Really, really good rugby program there.
Yeah.
So that would have been a great way, free scholarship.
Yeah.
That would have been a way to obviously finish my degree and still train at a really high rugby capacity.
Yeah.
And then the free dress came along, and I just thought if I left professional rugby then, it'd be very hard to go back into it, back to college. So I said, while I'm kind of used to professional rugby, I'll stick
to it. Yeah.
And I'm still in college, so
I
will get the degree.
Look, at the end of the day, I feel like it's just...
Yeah, exactly. Just keep tipping away.
Keep tipping away. And also, when you do have a rugby career,
Yeah.
It's... I know, I think people in Ireland are quite good at actually getting you to focus on your education. Because I know, especially in the Premiership, a lot of players just go into academies, full academies, when they're like 17.
Oh, yeah.
And they've nothing to stand for when they get injured at 25.
In fairness to Leinster and like Irupa, who were rugby players at the time, like they put such an emphasis on getting you into college.
Yeah.
Just making sure that you've got a balance.
Keep that finishing the presses. But
yeah, just making sure you have the balance between rugby and just... life.
I can just tell that it's about to go.
Yeah, just like you said, rugby career is not forever, and you don't make football money, so
I know.
Gotta have something there.
I always thought that rugby players were paid like footballers. Yeah. Right? Isn't it just ridiculous some of the money? Now I know
it's insane.
The higher end of rugby players, you know, they make a couple of million. But like when you like Ronaldo, Messi, Mbappe, all these boys
making a year salary in a week.
Disgusting. Like, I remember your man Samuel Eto'o going over, and I remember the breakdown of him getting like 500 quid a second or something like that. Oh, yeah. Like that statistic is so off the top of my head, but like something along those lines. But it's just, you know, especially like we obviously do a lot more on like physically wise than soccer players do as well, which is
100%.
That's not ideal, is it?
Oh, it's gone. It is gone. Yeah, I just thought about it being gone, and now it's gone. Yeah, so let me just go through here, just make sure that I've nicked the majority of what I wanted to get you on. There's a couple of other Irish lads in the Free Jacks as well.
That's
cool.
Yeah, it's great. Off the top of my head, I think there's five of us. So myself, Tadhg Leader, whose brother would be Dara Leader over in Connacht. Tadhg played for Connacht as well for a few years. Conor Kindrigan also was in Connacht for a few years, and then played a lot of his like senior rugby with Corcon, got AIL Division 1A Player of the Year maybe 3 years ago. Really good second row. Ronan McCusker, who would have come through the Ulster Underage Academy, second row. And then, who's last? John Poland, really, really good player. Scrum half, who I would have played Munster Underage with. He would have been Irish 20s, year behind me. Little small fella, but just such a good player. Yeah. So yeah, I'm delighted we picked him up.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, looking forward to getting back playing with him. I always really, really enjoy playing with him. So
yeah.
I think I'll probably be living with him as well. So it'll be pretty cool.
Yeah. Also, how does your accommodation work? Is there just a couple of like top players?
We're actually finalising that at the moment. I think the team have a 3-bedroom house, a 4-bedroom house, and a 10-bedroom house.
You do not want to be in a 10-bedroom house.
That's what I'm weighing up at the moment. So
it's a college dorm, like
literally. Yeah. So it's actually on a college campus. We partner with the college, and I think it's literally a frat house that they're going to give us.
Yeah.
So that could be interesting with 10 or 12 rugby players. So to the best of my ability, I'm going to try and get into the 3-bedroom house.
Just for your sanity, for hygiene purposes.
Everything.
Like,
just
You know yourself.
Like, but yeah, no, they sort the accommodation out for us.
That's good.
Just handy. Yeah.
Right. So there's our rugby chat. Are you ready for our segments?
Yeah. Okay. I'm ready.
Okay, so do you want to start off with the random, the trivia, or the life hack? Which would you like to?
Should have to think on that life hack still. We'll start in whatever order you have.
Okay, well, we'll start with the random questions, right? Okay, so what is your going to bed routine?
I'd like to say I should have something better, but man, I just get in there and I play on my phone for a while. Yeah, I do. I'd like to say I don't, but I do. Sleep's definitely something I've tried to get better at.
Yeah,
it's hard. With the rugby and stuff, but it is hard.
Especially when it's not built into you. Like, when you hear everyone harping on about sleep, you're like,
it's tough to switch off sometimes. Yeah. So then I'd be lying there for 20 minutes and check my phone again. And nothing's changed all the time. So, I definitely want to get into something better, but not yet.
Well, maybe in your new frat house. Exactly. It's a better going to bed.
I'm sure one of the 10 lads will have a good routine.
Yeah, fair. Is there something that you thought that you were good at, but you've recently found out, or not even recently, but ever found out that you're actually not that good at?
Singing. It's funny. I'm always singing around my house.
Yeah.
And you know, I feel like when you're singing over a song, you think you sound all right.
Yeah, and you think it's you.
And then my sister's like, "You are shocking." So I'm ashamed to admit it, but I started videoing myself singing over people so I can actually hear it back. It's disgraceful. It's humbling though. It's humbling. So singing definitely.
Something that you've learned about yourself, other than that you can't sing.
First and foremost, I can't sing. Something I learned about myself, I don't know if I learned, but I definitely taught myself to be more confident. I found definitely in rugby when days weren't going well, I was kind of I was defeating myself before it was actually that bad.
Yeah.
So resiliency, maybe. I don't know. Yeah,
that's good. Yeah. Can you name something that you wish more people did?
Wish more people did. Yeah, like do their own thing. Don't chase the crowd, I suppose.
Yeah.
My brother now. I think he's a prime example of doing what the hell he wants when he wants and not worrying about what other people do. I probably used to do that a bit as well. I'm trying to get better at not really caring. So maybe that.
It's definitely a good trait to have. I feel like if you're a sheep, you end up with a sheep life.
Absolutely.
Okay, what is the what is the funnest thing that someone could have in their back garden? Or paraphrase, what is something that you think would be fun to have in your back garden?
Maybe like a little water park or something.
Maybe
not in Ireland with the cold. If you lived in California or on the beach or something, a nice little water park.
What is, in terms of weather, I know that the winters are kind of shit in Boston.
Very
the summer?
Shit. Hot.
Hot?
Yeah, very similar to New York. It's like kind of the two extremes. Like the depths of winter is like
snow.
Minus 20. Wind chill, cold as hell. And then summer is like lovely, like high 20s, like really sunny, nice.
It'd be a nice spring and
it's one of those things like you get the full four seasons. Yeah. Like autumn's like really nice and spring is really nice. Yeah, so
fair.
The full four.
Nice. The last one of these random questions. Mm-hmm. What three activities would you rate 10 out of 10 and would do again?
That's a good question. What three activities? Is that just like day-to-day stuff or is that like
anything.
Something I've done? Do My Sevens last week was pretty good.
Yeah.
Does that count as activity?
Yeah.
Went to Do My Sevens last week and that Friday was...
Love you, bro.
Yeah. That was pretty up there. Definitely do that again. We went on tour to Canada this summer at UCD.
Yeah.
And we did this like whitewater rafting thing through like down by Niagara Falls.
Yeah.
That was like unbelievable. Best hangover cure I've ever had in my life. And
you wouldn't want to have a weak stomach being
I thought that, but everyone just the water just pumping on top of you. It actually cured you. And then three would be, I don't know, like just getting out and about like with the lads and stuff. I went down to Limerick a couple of weeks ago. We went down to like Lahinch, surfing, stuff like that. Just like
surfing's
nice, chill stuff, just getting outside.
I wish we had better places to surf around though.
Yeah, there's nothing really. So Lahinch was great. We did a bit of that up to Kipsmore. So something like that. Just getting out and about.
Nice. So there's our random cues. Do you have your life hack yet?
I don't know. I'll think of something for like travel or something. Maybe just getting out and about and sussing out the... I don't know if that's really a hack, is it?
Well, like the way I always kind of say for the life hack is like something that like you do or you mightn't even notice that you do and that you think, oh well, if other people do this it'd, you know. You know, that's such a
I feel like I do stuff that other people don't do, I just don't know.
It's just hard to pick one.
Do
you do anything weird with your diet? Do you eat anything weird,
or
do you cook in a particular way? Do you cook
I don't know, I'm boring as hell. What's Harry City extensionally? That's a good one. What's your life hack?
I used to do whoever would come on and give a life hack, I'd actually do one as well. But then I was like, you do 30 episodes.
I was gonna say you run out of hacks, don't you?
But like I'd be going around my room beforehand, just looking to pick shit up. Like I remember I had a toaster bag once.
Yeah.
That was actually pretty. Yeah, a toaster bag. Revolut.
That's what I was just thinking, but I didn't know if that was a...
No, Revolut is a game changer.
Does that count as a life hack?
That's
what I was just thinking. It's not a hack, everyone has it. Alright, I'm using Revolut then.
What is your favourite feature of Revolut? We'll dive into another.
Being able to transfer the money on there.
Yeah.
Just not getting charged all those fees and stuff from ATM. So like last week in Dubai, I could change my euros into dirhams, or obviously in America, into dollars.
And just spend it straight away.
Not getting... $10 on top of your
ATM
exchange
charges as well in foreign countries. Like,
what,
it's 4 or 5 euro? You do that 10 times
mad.
In a week.
Revolut.
Nice guys. Okay,
that's funny you said that. It was in my head, but I don't know.
I actually think different features of Revolut have probably been like 4 or 5 different life hacks.
Really?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, I'm gonna roll with that then.
Okay, so into the trivia. Now, 10 questions. Let's see how many.
This is just quick fire off the top.
Yeah, so just see what you get. So, according to the Guinness World Records, what is the best selling book of all time?
The Guinness Book of World Records?
Yeah.
Oh, God. The Bible.
Yes.
Yeah.
Nice.
I remember that.
Nice. Okay. Which scientist is well known for his theory of relativity?
Fuck, can I name him two or three scientists? Can I pass?
No.
No. Shit, like Einstein's probably the only scientist.
Yeah, it's Einstein.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Take that.
Yeah. Right. You're already on two. Okay, so what is the tattoo on Popeye's arm?
An anchor.
Yes. Jeez, you're three on the row. Okay, ascorbic acid is the name for which vitamin?
Oh, I know this. Ascorbic acid. C?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's 4 out of 4. You're on a roll.
I think that's leaving sort of biology coming back to me. I don't know. That could be way off, but
according to Forbes, who became the world's youngest billionaire this year?
Fuck. The Kardashian girl. I shouldn't know that, but I do. Kendall Jenner?
I'll give you a 0.5. Kylie Jenner.
Kylie Jenner.
I'll give you the 0.5. Which city has its airport named after George Best?
Belfast, I imagine.
Yeah, yeah. Spot on.
So I'm on a roll here.
You are on a roll. I think you just hit the high score.
Did I? I'm only halfway through.
Mark, what's the 5?
Me?
Yeah.
I'm liking this.
You could end up getting a couple of these. A Bellini is flavoured with what fruit?
Oh, which, sorry?
A Bellini.
Is it a drink?
Yeah. Fantastic cocktail.
Grapefruit?
Peach.
Okay.
That's the first one they haven't gotten in. Okay, which famous scientist who developed 3 laws of motion was born on Christmas Day?
Newton?
Yeah. Nice. The only two scientists you knew.
Yeah.
Going through. Okay, which politician's wife... her biography sold over 10 million copies according to its publisher.
Is it an American politician or Irish? Probably Clinton. Oh no, Obama. Probably. Shock. Brain that.
Which travel company, one of the largest and oldest in the world, went bankrupt this year?
Thomas Cook?
Yeah. Sean, that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 7.5. That's a high score. I think that's
weirdly good.
I think that's I think the high score before that was 5. Like,
okay,
that's pretty decent.
That's setting the bar. Yeah, yeah, if I got the Jenner, I'd be at 8. Jeez, yeah, no, that's definitely good. Out of what, 10?
Out of 10, 7.
I'll take that 75%.
Yeah. And you have bragging rights over Harry now.
Yeah,
that's well,
all
so,
I
mean.
Yeah. I'm confident I'd beat Harry, but yeah. I didn't think I'd get top score.
Like, I'm annoyed that I couldn't even think of what Harry got. I should really keep better track of this.
I couldn't imagine Harry's general knowledge is very good, but
yeah,
he's good at other things.
Yeah. We'll quiz him about the sevens and travel, and then he'll do well.
Absolutely.
Sean, look, thanks a million for coming on today.
Thanks for having me.
I had a good time, and it's it's great to hear about everything that's going on over in the US, and hopefully, you know, you'll go over and you'll start kicking ass, and maybe you get capped by the Eagles and we'll do this again.
Fingers crossed. Yeah, no, I appreciate you having me. Like I said, I've never been on a podcast before, so it was very nice to get the text that someone wants to listen to my story. So no, I appreciate it. Yeah,
yeah,
really,
absolutely.
Really do.
Well,
that's great
for everyone listening. Sean McNulty,
thank you very much.
Bam, cheers. Bam, bam.